Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you for coming to this beautiful Learning Day event. Today we're going to be talking about the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of mercy. And you might wonder, why did I choose this topic in the middle of the summer, right? This is really part of the Slichos, part of what we say before Rosh Hashanah, going into the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and the height is Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah. We say it over and over and over again until we say Shema Yisrael and hear the shofar blow Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. A friend of mine told me that someone mentioned to her that she is a tremendous Balas Chesed. She does an incredible amount of kindness and good deeds. She has people, she cares, she calls. Yet she doesn't have so much Rachmanas, not so much compassion. I said, okay, I'm so curious, what is really the difference between chesed, kindness, and rachmanas, compassion, rachamim? Because you know what? Let's start learning about the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll see what the differences truly are. We're now in the time of the Bein HaMetzarim, during the 3 weeks. And we know that this time of year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is not seen clearly. Before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, we saw Hashem's hand so very clearly. The nisim, the miracles that occurred in the Beit HaMikdash were clear as day. We had korbanos. We saw the miracles outright. There was no question that God was with us. Once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a concept that occurred that there was now hester upon him. It was a covering of God's face, that we don't see him as clearly as we used to. But we need to make absolutely clear that everyone knows without a shadow of a doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not left his people. He was there with us at the Churban, at the destruction, and he's been with us ever since, every day, every minute. We know that when we have little children, we play lots of games with them. When they're about 6, 7 months old, a lot of hand games. The wheels on the bus go round and round. How big's Chana? So big. Itsy bitsy spider. But we also play a game of peekaboo. So we cover our face and we say, where's mommy? Where's Bubby? I can't find Bubby. Peekaboo. And the baby squeals in delight. So happy to see you. Why is the baby so happy? Because the baby thought you had left. Couldn't see your face. Hester Punim, covering of the face. Yet, if that child would have fallen off a chair, you would have jumped to grab them. If they would have put their fingers in the sockets, you would have pulled them away. If they begin to cry, you would grab them and hug them and comfort them. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may not see him clearly, but he is there, caring for us, watching us, guiding us every step of the way. But our job is to look for him, to understand who he is, how he manifests himself in this world, so that we can see him to the best of our ability during this time of Hester Panim. Also, during the time of Bein HaMetzarim, during the time of the 3 weeks, we need to work on the midos, the attributes of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of kindness to one another, because we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. So now is the time to go out of our comfort zone, out of the box, and do things that we wouldn't normally do to engage others, to embrace others, to bring others close to us. In doing so, we all know that we learn from Hashem, Mahu Rachum, Afata Rachum. He is compassionate, you should be compassionate. The midos of Hashem, we need to emulate, and we need to behave in that way, conduct ourselves towards his children. So truly, now is a time for us to learn about the 13 midos, the 13 attributes of mercy. We get to Yom Kippur. I always think of Yom Kippur as a car wash. You start Kol Nidre, and you get on that car wash, and you're just going through. You're going through, and you keep getting all the soap and the washers and the everything, and by the time you get out, you're cleansed, you're clean. But what I've recognized now is it is not so simple. It's not just press the button and go, yes, there is this car wash. But when we work on ourselves, and we work on ourselves according to the midos Hashem has shown us that we should behave to emulate him, we've pre-soaked. we've made it much easier for the stains to be gone. And so that's really our job right now during the time of the 3 weeks. So let's get started to understand what these mitos really are. The first time we come into contact with these 13 mitos of Hashem occurs after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf. So what happens? Klal Yisrael is getting the Torah. They tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they tell Moshe, we want to hear God's voice. It's not be good for you. You really, it's not so great for you to hear God's voice. No, we need to know that He's the one who's giving us the Torah. Okay. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, all the Jewish people died. Moshe said, this is not working out, everybody. So there's Tchias HaMesim. Hashem says, the second of the Aseret Dibros, boom, they die again. Because we couldn't handle that incredible Kedusha. The Jews said, you know what? We know God exists. Moshe, you tell us the rest. They got the Aseret Dibros. Moshe went up to Har Sinai. He comes down, and the Jews are, they have this egel, they have this golden calf, and it was, you couldn't believe it. What are you doing? You should have just waited for me. Have faith. You should have waited. They're worshiping a golden calf, which is truly unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that in order to be forgiven, he needs to say this magic formula, this special verse, and then the Jews will be forgiven. Hashem is the one who says it first and teaches Moshe how to daven. But we need to know that this is not for free. It's not just abracadabra, you're forgiven, hocus pocus, here we go. That's not how it works in Judaism. We got to put work into it. So yes, these 13 attributes is what we say and is how we are forgiven, but we need to understand how and why and what they mean in order for that to work. It's interesting that the mitos that were said at the Egel are not exactly the same ones that were said at the time of the Meraglim. When the Meraglim, the spies, went into Israel and came back with a poor report, and Moshe Rabbeinu requested forgiveness for them once again, the same words were used, but some of them were missing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu could not use the words that was the antithesis of what the Jewish people just did. For example, the word MS was not said at the time of the Meraglim. Because they brought back a report that was not truthful. It was not MS. How can I say to Hashem MS when they came and said something that was not MS? In addition, we'll see that not only do we ask Hashem for forgiveness, but we bring down the Zechus Avos, the merits of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't use that word either because this was the promise given to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Your children will inherit the land of Israel. And they totally rejected it. How can Moshe go and say, please, we need tzchus avos, when they slap that in the face and say, we don't want the land. It's very bad. We don't want it. So we see that, again, this is not a magical formula, but it certainly is the tefillah Hashem taught us to use when we ask for forgiveness from Hashem. So first, let's talk about the number 13. Why are there 13 mitos? Why are there 13 attributes? The word echad in gematria is 13. Aleph is 1, ches is 8, and dalet is 4. That's 13. Meaning that we understand the oneness of God. He has these different attributes, but He is one. When we acknowledge that oneness, and we want to become close to that oneness, that is when we're able to use the 13 attributes. In addition, Rav Dessler states that the word ahava is also the gematria of 13. Because when we come to understand what these midos mean, we'll have exceptional love of Hashem. We'll want this closeness. We will do tshuva, and those midos will help us get to that way. I heard a beautiful shiur from Rabbi Ari Ben Shushan, who explained the midos in a remarkable way that I'd like to share with you. So the first of the mitos are, well, we'll say them first. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim rav chesed ve'emes, notzer chesed la'alafim, nose avon v'fesha v'chata v'nakeh. We all know these 13. We're going to explain every one as we go through. Hashem, Hashem. We use the name of God, yud kei vav kei, which represents haya hove yihyeh, that He was, He is, and He will be. The oneness of God, saying, this is the God that created the world. Look at this incredible chesed God did for us. He brought me into existence. Not only into existence, but in this remarkable, incredible world that we all live in with everything that we need. And then on top of that, the beauty that we can enjoy. This is the chesed that God did for us. As it says, Olam chesed yibaneh. God built the world on chesed. We know Bereishis bara Elohim. When Hashem created the world, it was with justice. Elohim is the name of justice. But then God realized that the world can't only exist on justice. There needs to be this kindness, this chesed that went along with the world. But then Rashi says, we say Hashem, Hashem. We say Hashem twice because it's the same Hashem before the chait as it was after the chait, referring to the chait of Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon was in the world of utopia. There was a Yetzer Hara outside of him. And he would have to deal with the Yetzer Hara, but himself, intrinsically, he was all good. He ate from the Eitz Hadas that he wasn't supposed to, and then that all became intertwined. And now the fight was even greater. It was more difficult, more challenging. But it's the same Hashem before who had that incredible chesed bringing us into existence and sustaining us and being here with us. Who's Hashem after the chait? Now we're on plan B. This is not plan A of the world, but God is still with us. He's still causing us to exist. He's enabling us to live so that we can be close to him, so that we can come back and do tshuva. Because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? He wants a relationship with us. That is what he wants. He created us so that we can be close to him. We can make the choices that enables us to be close to him. After the chait, we had a problem, though. We had this stain. We had this stain on us that we couldn't get as close as we were. Because think of it, you know, when you want to go see a dignitary and you spill coffee all over your shirt, you can't go in front of him looking like that. That's just, you can't get too close. You stand in the back. Maybe people be in front of you. They won't see. Same, too, when we do chataim. When we do sins, we have these stains. And we can't get as close to Hashem as we'd like to. But we still have that opportunity for an incredible relationship with Hashem. The next midah of Hashem, of his kindness, is that the word kel, which means power and strength, the power and strength of God. Now we know that this has to do with kindness, because in Perek Chaf Beis of Tehillim, of Ayelet HaShachar, we know when Esther HaMalka is going to see Ahasuerosh, and she's davening, she says, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, using this word kel, Hashem, Hashem, why did you leave me? You are the king of chesed, and now I don't feel you. Because she was walking through the corridors of the palace and davening and davening and davening, and then she felt God's presence leave because she was getting to the point that where there was avodah zarah in the palace and God could not be at the same place. And she's saying, Hashem, don't leave me now. I'm in such a precarious situation. I'm going to ask for the salvation of the Jewish people. I need your help. Saying, Hashem, you are the God of power, of strength, which is included in chesed. Because God, not only did he create the world, and we sinned, and he's still sustaining us, he sustains us while we sin. While we're in the middle of doing chatam, he's still there for us. What happened? There's a medrash that says that when the Jewish people were asked to build a mishkan in the desert, they had to bring gold. And they said, oh, we got a problem here. We used all our gold for the Egel HaZahav. They kind of whispered it. What are we supposed to do now? We have no gold. We used it for that idol that we worship. Oh, there you go. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made gold appear so that they would be able to create the Mishkan. Unbelievable. We did a chait, and in our chait, Hashem is still sustaining us. He's still giving us. It's as if you're on vacation, and you decide to come home a day early. You made a mistake. You posted on Facebook when you'll be gone. Okay, you come back a day earlier, and you see the lights in the living room are on. You walk inside, and somebody has made themselves at home in your house. They broke in. They are using your home to sleep. They're using your items. They're eating your food. And you say, hello, I see, you know, you look a little thirsty. Can I get you a drink? So, outrageous, outrageous. But that's exactly what Hashem does. We sin against him, and while we are sinning, he still sustains us. He still gives us blood for our heart to beat and air to breathe so that they're going to come back. They're going to do tshuva. I know it. I believe it. I have faith in them. They're going to come back. So we had Hashem, Hashem, Kale, the strength. It requires incredible inner fortitude to have that strength to say, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to help them. It's the same strength, as an aside, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endures while we're in Galus. We sinned. We no longer have the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, Hashem is in Galus too, because his home, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. He's homeless. He has nowhere to go. But he endures that, and he keeps Klal Yisrael alive and able to have the ability to do tshuva, to get close to him again so that his home will be rebuilt. And he endures the embarrassment of the other nations mocking him and laughing at him. Say, look at your people. They're destitute. They're downtrodden. Look at your people. That is incredible strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now God is a rachum. We say rachum. So now we're talking about what does it mean to have rachmanis? What does that mean to have compassion? So not only did he create the world, and he sustains us, and he helps us while we're sinning, he says, you know what? I feel so bad for you. You have a lot of troubles. You have limitations. I see your struggles. I'm going to help you. But not only that, you are worth the investment. I know your potential. I know it's there. You may not be showing it to me right now. I know it is there. I have faith in you. I'm investing everything in you. That is what rachum means. We are the investment. As we say, as we all know in the morning, Modeh Ani. I wake up in the morning, I thank Hashem, Melechai v'kayam, the strength, this powerful God, Shehachazarta b'nishmasi, Hashem has returned my soul to me, which in itself is a huge chesed, because you know our neshamas every night go up to Shemayim, they give a bit of a din v'cheshbon, how'd you do yesterday, how's it going, okay, comes back. I get my neshama back. What if I got someone else's, like Freaky Friday? I woke up, I'm somebody else, right? But Hashem gives me my neshama back, and then we end up saying, Rabba emunasecha, your faith is great in me. So I know in the morning when I get up that, you know what? Hashem, who knows me better than anyone else, even better than I know myself, has faith in me. I can do this. I can be a faithful servant to him, and he is willing to invest in me, even though I haven't really shown him much fruit for his labor. But it's not for free, because we need to come to God with a plan. This is what I plan to do. This is how I'm going to get better, how I'm going to come back to you. But when you don't, and you lost that the schus for the rachmanis, there's no more rachmanis because you don't have a plan and you're not really doing anything. It's a chanun. Hashem is a chanun, meaning he gives us things for free. Chayn. Chinam, for free. Right? And it's funny, chayn, people who have chayn, it really is chinam. It's just who they are, that they shine. That's they're just very fortunate to have that. You don't have a plan. You don't have a thought of getting closer to Hashem. You don't have a thought of doing tshuva. Yet he still is there for us, and he's still giving, and he's still wanting the relationship. It's very similar to a young boy, and it's his birthday. And his father abandoned the family very long time ago and really had nothing to do with the family. And the boy is sitting at the doorstep saying, you know, Mom, Dad's going to come. It's my birthday. He's going to come. She goes, sweetheart, he's not coming. He left us. He's not coming. No, I promise you he's going to come. He loves me. I know. He knows today's the day I was born. He's going to come. He's not coming. And finally, he's crying. His dad's not coming. Dad comes rushing through the door, breaks down the door. He says, I'm here. I need your money. Give me your piggy bank. Give me everything you have. I have to buy more alcohol. I have to, you know, buy. You have money for what I'm doing now. And he comes and he takes the little boy's money and he runs out. That's what Hashem is experiencing with us. Hashem is waiting. Please come back. Come back. I'm waiting for you. And what do? We come back. We say, I need parnasa. Hashem, I need refuah. I need a good shidduch for my children. Please, please, please. Slach lanu. Please, please, please. Hashem's, okay, come back to me, come back to me. And he's waiting for us, That's what it means to be a chanun. That's what it means to have incredible compassion. Now we go on to Erech Apayim. that he's slow to anger. Okay, I've given you so many chances. I've given you chance after chance after chance. You haven't come back to me, but you know what? You deserve punishment? Not yet. I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'm going to wait because you might come back. And I'm going to give you the time to see what's going to happen. The time for tshuva. There's time and there's time. But now there's a change. Before, everything was for us, right? He had Cheshen, Chanun, Rachum. He's a kel. He has strength. He says, no, they're not doing anything. They're not coming back. But now I'm doing it for me, Hashem says. Hashem is Rav Chesed. He has an abundance of kindness. He gives because he is a giver. He gives because he wants to give, not because the recipients deserve. Because there are people that we know who just have to give. They just give because they need to. They need to give. And that's what Hashem is doing. When we see the word Rav, it always means an abundance of. For example, Esav said, Yesh li Rav, I have much. Yaakov said, Yesh li Kol, I'm content. Esav said, Yesh li Rav, I have an abundance. When it came to Korach said to Levim, Rav lachem, you have too much. You've got the kahuna, you've got Moshe Rabbeinu, you've got too much. Rav, it means too much. Kadosh Baruch Hu is filled with chesed. He's filled with kindness that he wants to keep giving us, which he does. Emes. When we talk about truth, this is saying, Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, my chesed run out, kivyachol. But I'm going to be here for you and with you because of the schus avos, because of the merits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's how we start every Shemona Esrei. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, because we grab onto that schus avos. Because I know I don't have my schuyos, I don't have that which I can go and say, please, Hashem, look what I did for you. I know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did for me. They did for me. Therefore, I can grab onto that. And that's what was not said by the Meraglim, as we said, when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for them. But you can say, you know, Hashem could say, a person could think Hashem could say, you know what? He can have chesed with a lot of other people in Klal Yisrael. Why does it have to be me? Notzer chesed la'alafim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed with us. We don't deserve it. We ran out of schuyos because of what my great-great-great-great-grandmother did. Or my great-great-great-great-grandfather did. Because those chuyos keep coming and coming and coming, even though we don't know where they came from. Hashem does chesed because of something that was done thousands of generations ago. So where do we see this? Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came time to fight Og, Melech HaBashan, was frightened. He was afraid he was going to lose. Why so? Because years and years and years back, Og was the one who came, he was the palit who came to tell Avraham that Lot had been captured. He did a chesed for Avraham. Now he had ulterior motives. He wanted Avraham to go save Lot. Avraham should be killed and then Og can take Sarah. That was his thought. But he did a chesed for Avraham. He told Avraham that his nephew had been captured. Therefore, all these years later, Moshe was frightened because he thought that there was a schus for Og, for Og's descendants. In addition, we see that when Shaul HaMelech was going to kill Amalek, he went and told the Keni, the people that were living amongst Amalek, he was telling them, move out of the way, run away, because I'm going to kill Amalek. Why did the Keni get this special privilege that to be informed that there was going to be a massacre of the Amalekim? Because years and years and years ago, the Canaan, who are descendants of Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, Yisro took in Moshe Rabbeinu when he was running away from Mitzrayim. Okay, not to say, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu took care of Yisro's flock. Moshe Rabbeinu did a chesed for Tzipora and the girls at the well, but yet Yisro took him in, and therefore, because of that schus, because of that merit that happened so many years ago, now the Canaan were given the privilege to run away so that they don't have to worry about being destroyed with Amalek. So Kadosh Baruch Hu pays back chesed that was done many, many, many generations ago. Nose avon vafesha v'chata. Hashem carries the sins, different types of sins, those who were done purposely, those done accidentally. Hashem carries those sins so that they're not on the person themselves. So we have more schuyos. The chesed keeps coming and coming and coming. What does that mean? What does this mean? The Tomer Devora, the Ramak, discusses that for each aveira a person does, a malach is created. An angel is created. And that angel needs to eat. So he goes up to Hashem and says, I'm hungry, I need to eat. And what happens is that angel goes down and says, I'm the angel of Chaim Ploni, and eats the merits, the mitzvos of Chaim Ploni. That's what he eats up. Because spiritually speaking, that is what is full of nutrients, right? So therefore, that is the food of these angels. But Hashem realizes if all the schulios, if all the merits are eaten up, there's nothing left for these people, and they'll have no chelik and olam haba. Where are they going to go? Hashem says, come, the malach, come back to me. You eat off of me. I will carry the sin. I will carry the avon. This is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for us. It's how much chesed he's giving us. V'nakeh, and he cleans us. But the truth is v'nakeh, the next two words is v'nakeh, v'lo y'nakeh. He cleans us, but he doesn't clean us. And so I heard a fascinating explanation that the way we read is, and he cleans us? No, he doesn't clean us. And this is the biggest chesed of Hashem. It is up to us to do the cleansing. It's up to us, after all the chesed that he has done for us, it is up to us to clean, because that is the biggest chesed. Because once I have done the tshuva, once I have the schuyos of the tshuva, then I, on my own, will be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to earn it. Because tshuva, as we know, is the greatest gift that God can give us. It's really remarkable. What happens? A person does a chait. A person does an aveira. He does a sin. And then he recognizes it. He acknowledges it. He feels bad about it. And he accepts upon himself not to do it again. He's done tshuva. Now that he's done tshuva, it's a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you get tzchar, you get reward. So I committed a sin. I said I was sorry, and now not only do I not get punished for it, and not do I get forgiveness, but now I get a reward for it, right? That seems crazy. That just, it's not like the American justice system. If someone is a thief, you can't go to the judge and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll pay it back. I'm so sorry. Oh, you're sorry? Great. Let me give you tickets to the movies. It's not how this works, right? You need to pay for your crime. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu so wants a relationship with us, he's willing to give us schar in order to come back to him. Okay. So this is really understanding the 13 attributes of chesed, of kindness that Hashem does. It goes from the creation all the way through how he is kind to us in every aspect of our life. So how does this translate into how I treat other people? Right? Because here we are. We're in the middle of the 3 weeks. How do I treat God's children the way he treats me? So if we look at a few of these examples or of the attributes of Hashem, we can see how we can use them to benefit the Jewish people at large. So for example, Nose Avon. He carries the sin, right? We know that there is an incredible mitzvah of being nose ba'ol chavero, helping someone through their challenging times. That if you have a table and one person carries it, it's exceptionally heavy. If two people carry it, it feels lighter. While the weight is the same, but two people are carrying it, the load is lighter. Just like Hashem carries our sins, we too have to help others and carry their loads. There's a story that I heard many years ago that really resonated with me. There was a Rav, and he was a pulpit rabbi of a shul. And he, being a pulpit rabbi of the shul, he was very open with his congregants. He came on Shabbos, and he made an announcement that he was diagnosed with cancer. And that he was not going to be private about it, but he was going to share with his community how he was doing, what was going on. So they went through everything with him, and they helped him through. And a year, two, three passed, and he got up in front of the shul and said, "I need to tell everybody I am in remission." And everyone was so happy and relieved and grateful that their rav was in remission. One of the balabatim, one of the congregants, went home and said at the Shabbos table, "You know what we heard today? The rabbi's in remission." And the 11-year-old daughter said, "Baruch Hashem, I can sleep with a pillow." "What are you talking about?" She said, "No, nothing. No, no, really, what are you talking about?" She said that when I heard that the rabbi was sick, there was nothing I could do. I'm 11 years old. What am I supposed to do? I can't cook meals for the family. I can't drive them to the hospital for appointments. But I could feel his pain. So I decided that since, as long as he's not well, I am not sleeping with a pillow. And once he was well, she once again did. Feeling the pain of others, that is acting godly. That is how Hashem wants us to act towards his people. Rav Chesed, we need to have an abundance of Chesed. We need to be overly filled with Chesed. What does that mean, overly filled with Chesed? We need to leave our comfort zone. We need to think out of the box. How can I help someone who I haven't helped before? How can I help them with an issue that I've never seen before? For example, someone comes to your home for Shabbos, and you have a beautiful Shabbos Suda, and you entertain, and you tell stories, and you try to be as gracious as possible. Lunch is over, and they decide to sit on the couch. All right, let's talk some more. Okay, so we're schmoozing, and there's nothing else to talk about, and we're, you know, talk the best thing that I find, talk about food. What restaurants do you like? What do you not like? Everyone likes food. We talk about that. And then Shabbos is, it's going, and they're still there. They don't leave. Okay, let's go to the shir. Yay, we go to the shir. You think they're going to go home? They don't. They come back. Okay, they're sitting down. They're sitting with us. Fine. Shabbos is over, and you say to them, "You know, I have extra food. Would you like me to pack you up something for tomorrow night's dinner?" Rav Chesed, think beyond what you typically would do. Watch other people, because people are incredible Baalei Chesed. See what they do. See if you can incorporate it into your life. Noser Chesed la'alafim, that you repay people for generations for what they've done in the past. It's very hard. Nobody wants to feel indebted to people. Nobody wants to feel it. People want to feel independent. Okay, you did that for me. Thank you. I repaid you. I said thank you. I sent you a thank you note. I sent you a nice bar mitzvah present. We're done. But that's not how this goes. Someone did something for you. You need to thank them over and over and over again. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells a story that he lost his father at a very young age. And before his father passed away, he said to him, "You know, you're the oldest child. You're going to have to support the family." He was studying to be a moyel at the time. And it's very hard when you're first going to Mila, nobody really wants to use you. So he had to get more experience. And he was supporting the family. And he was, I think, 21, 22. That's the way the story goes. And a man came over to him and said, "You know, I need to speak to you." And he said, "Okay, sure, what's going on?" He goes, "Here, I want to give you something." So he gave him an envelope with $1,500 in it. He said, "No, we're not. I don't need charity. We're doing just fine." He goes, "You know what? This is not charity. This is a loan. You don't have to pay it back. But when you can, come back to me." So he went home to his mom and said, "You know, I got," he said, "In those days, that was a lot of money, $1,500. I think it's a lot of money today also. So he said, "You know, this is what this man gave. No, we don't need it. We are not tzedakah case." "No, no," he said, "it's a loan. It's a loan." "Okay, fine." So his years went by. He became more successful in his Mila practice, and he was able to scrounge together the $1,500. He put into an envelope. He went to this person's office. He said, "I want to give you back the money." He goes, "I can't take that from you." He goes, "What do you mean? This is a loan." He said, "No, I need to explain to you what happened. 10 years prior, this man was destitute. And somebody came to him and gave him $1,500 in an envelope. And he said, this needs to be passed on forward. When you see that someone who needs, you're going to give it forward. You're going to keep going forward and forward." Nosa chesed la'alafim. Not only do we have to have gratitude for those that people did things for us in the past, but we need to pay it forward. And when we see what the chesed someone has done for us, do it for somebody else. That is being godly. That is following Hashem's image. Chazal tell us that when you say these yud gimel midos, when you say these 13 attributes, you will never leave empty-handed. You will not leave reikam. Just like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Rekam al Tashivenu, we say Shema Kolenu, Hashem, do not let us leave empty-handed. But the truth is that you may not leave empty-handed, but you may not get what you're asking for. No one's saying you come out with a big basket filled with all of these things that you're asking for when you say the 13 mitos. No one's saying you're being forgiven yet. How does this work? The one thing we know that we can get when we say the 13 mitos and that we will not leave empty-handed is that we will feel busha. We will feel embarrassment because it doesn't shtim, it doesn't go together, the feeling of seeing what God is doing for me, the chesed, and how I'm treating him, that I'm not giving back what he's asking for. It's a busha, it's an embarrassment. So even if I haven't changed a bit, even if I haven't done anything different, I feel this busha, this embarrassment, this bad feeling, and that will cause tshuva, and Hashem will forgive you, even if nothing else is done. Chazal tell us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, well, for many reasons, but one, because they did not feel busha. There was no embarrassment, no one felt ashamed for not following Torah mitzvos. They did what they wanted to do, and there was no busha about it. This is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And that is why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because what were they saying? We don't want the relationship. Not interested. Not interested? Hashem said that I'm going to have to close my doors. I'm going to have to close the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. But when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want the relationship. I want to try. I will try again. And we keep coming back saying, again, I'll try. That's okay. Because if you come, and it's sincere, and it is sincere. And when we're at Yom Kippur, we are sincere. Even though we know tomorrow, or even tonight after Yom Kippur, we're going to do something. At this moment, we're very sincere. And we tell Hashem, we want the relationship with you. We want to feel your kindness. We want to do kindness to others. We want to be in this together. We want the 13, the Echad, the Ahava. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell us, Salachti Kidvarecha. I will forgive you like you have asked. So these 13 principles are short. There's only a sentence. But it truly is a magic formula. When we think about what we're saying, and we think about all of the kindness that God gives us, and think about what we can give back to him, indeed he will tell us that we are forgiven. Okay, anyone have any questions or comments? No. All right, thank you very much, everybody.